Now, it changed on here. We had, you know, the Lord's intervention, you know, for our country. And you all should pray as the Lord leads you. But, you know, I got the prayer list kind of. At least Diane does it, and I get to edit it. And I'm not going to put that on. You know, like I said, it ain't my flag. It ain't my country. Now, you all can have your own views, but that's my view. And you know, my country, if anything, is Florida. You know, my country's Florida. And my country's my kith and kin. It's y'all. You know, beyond that, what this country, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, you can think and say what you want, but I don't think it's all been fixed. You see, some folks are all dancing in the street for a couple different reasons, but then some of them, because they think it's all fixed. And, you know, you go back, and several folks, and I could name some names, and one pops into mind, you know, Jerry Falwell Jr. and Franklin Graham. He kind of was both sides of the issue, but, you know, it's like, here, Trump's God's man. God brought us Trump to save America. And there's like a video out there. You can, it's an hour long. I didn't take time to look at it, but Trump, God's man to stop America's destruction. Yeah, I don't think so. And so, yeah, I think we should pray for God's people and for wisdom and discernment in this age in which we live. But a few verses that come to mind as I was contemplating that this morning, and there's at least three different places in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah speaks of this, and I won't look at all of them, but just to bring a couple to mind. And Jeremiah 14 and verse 11, Jeremiah says, Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then I said, Oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword. Things are okay. Don't sweat it. You shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. You hear that out there today, you know? Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and of the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. And, you know, I could continue on and you can go read the more of the context of it, but that's the gist of it there in Jeremiah 14. And again, I don't claim to know all the mind of God. Maybe he's going to restore this place, but I see very little evidence of that. And the reason God says I'm not going to listen to their prayers and their oblations is because, you know, they will be being offered up like his magic, right? You know, so we'll give prayers, and pray for America, pray for that, and they keep on, and they keep on, and their sinfulness, and they keep on in their deprivations, and they don't intend to change, but they want to take out that little magic amulet of God when they need it, and wave it around and pray to it and get what they want, and then continue on doing what they want. It doesn't work that way. One other passage, and Jeremiah, like I say, speaks of this several places, but back in Jeremiah 7 and verse 16, and I suppose we could apply a little bit as the season is upon us, but Jeremiah 7 and verse 16, God said this, "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, and they make cakes to the Queen of Heaven." You know who that was? Ashtaroth, also known as Astarte, Ishtar, Easter. That's who that is. "But they make cakes to the Queen of Heaven." You know, little hot cross buns. I think that mainly that more maybe up north, but I don't know, you know, during the Easter season. You know, they want to pretend to worship God, and they want to escape his judgments, but they still want to be bowing down and embracing their false gods. "Make cakes to the Queen of Heaven." You know, if you look around the country today, and you can look it up on the internet, you've probably seen it driving around. You ever come around and you see Mary, Queen of Heaven, Catholic Church? See, that Mary and I'm off topic here, but that Mary that the Catholics are worshiping is Ashtaroth, is Ishtar. Nowhere is the mother of our Lord called the Queen of Heaven. But just read about the Queen of Heaven, you know, over in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. That's some pretty scary stuff, folks. It ought to be. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, the women knead dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do not they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Thus saith the Lord, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon men and upon beasts and upon trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and it shall not be quenched. So folks say, well, you know, pray for America, and still want to go on like we've been going on. Nothing changed. You can go back to Jeremiah 11, you can read pretty much the same. You can read the chapter before, Jeremiah 10, where Jeremiah talks about the glorious Christmas tree. You know, well, we're here, the season's approaching. We may talk about that later more, but I'll over here in Jeremiah 10, the Lord says this, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." People won't tell me, well, I know it started as a heathen thing. They have to tell you that. You know why? Because you can't deny it. It's true. Anybody that will investigate it will see. It's true. It's heathen. It's pagan. They say, oh, well, that's what it was, but that ain't what it means to me. You know, and that we've changed that. We've adopted that. That's what Rome does. That's not what the Lord's churches do. The Lord didn't say adopt the way or adapt the way of the heathen. He said learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed of them. For the customs of the people are vain. For the one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. And they deck it with silver and with gold. And they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. And again, some of those things we were touching on before, and I'll get back to some of them today. We're talking about finishing well and continuing on. I mean, the Lord opened my eyes to about some of these things and taught them to me. And again, you know, we have to make allowance for folks. The Lord brings them along and teaches them about things as they go. But when the Lord opened my eyes about these, I mean, I couldn't stand anymore sitting in a church and seeing one of those pagan Christmas trees up there. And the one time when I was in seminary, I was teaching I used to sometimes teach the adult Sunday school class. And they said, well, you know, I was supposed to teach it then. I said, well, if I teach it, I'm going to teach it on Jeremiah 10. And they said, well, maybe you won't teach it. So, because they had that tree up front, you know, that big old tree up there. And so, they didn't want me up there preaching from Jeremiah 10. It's like going to an Arminian church and, you know, and you would say, well, I'm going to preach from Romans 9. They said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You know, we don't preach that here. You know, there's certain parts of the Bible we just don't preach. So pray for one another. Pray for God's intervention in our families and our communities within our kith and kin, for God's protection upon His people. And if you're led to do so, you know, pray for the country. But I'm not led to do that. At least the Lord said, don't pray for the good. You can find some prayers in the Psalms, I think, are appropriate for this country. They're called imprecatory prayers, you know, when it's calling down the judgment of God. And again, I don't want to be, sometimes, could I be wrong? Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, remember the sons of thunder, you know, John and James, the disciples, and the Lord was preaching the gospel, and they said, let's call down fire upon these people. And he said, well, no. No, it's not. So the Lord knows those things, and we just have to seek His wisdom. But I think it's dangerous just to wholesale, you know, pray for wickedness, wicked countries, wicked lands, whatever. Okay, that was for free. That was a bonus. We'll continue on over in Galatians 3, and really my excursus from there a little bit. And I already spent some time on some other topics and so forth, but we'll look at a few things over here. Again, Paul's addressing the false teachers, the false doctrines, the false gospel that has been presented there to the saints in Galatia, and the concern he has with them, and he's addressed many aspects of that. As we got into chapter 3, Paul was asking the saints in Galatia to reflect a little bit about what God had done in their own life, and what had happened in their own life, and how it had happened. I mean, it's like, what did you contribute to it? And the answer is nothing. You know, and as he's speaking of that, and he speaks to the Galatians, he said, O foolish Galatians, in verse 1 of chapter 3, Who bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? I mean, if you see that, it's only because God opened your eyes. This is only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? I mean, did you do something? Or did you receive it? Are you so foolish, verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. And so we talk what Paul's here is speaking, you know, how we began and how we finished. And how we continue on. And if the importance of beginning well, or beginning in the Spirit and concluding in that fashion. And that it's not so much how you start, but how by the grace of God you continue on, and how you finish. And Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And so the importance of continuing on, of finishing the course, of finishing well, and to reflect a bit about that in a personal and as in a church sense, and something that's applicable to all of us is, again, 31 plus years we've been here. Well, not here. We started off down at Homestead. But 31 plus years, Landmark Baptist Church. And the world would look at that and say, well, what do you got to show for it? You know? What have you got out of it? What have you done? What's happened here? That's not our business. Duty is ours. Consequences is God. Our duty is to continue on in what God's called us to do. And we're looking at a few points why we continue on. And why we have continued on by the grace of God. And last week we looked at the first point of that, and is that number one, God's called us to this ministry. And we reflected upon the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, where the Lord said, I'm sending you to the children of Israel. He said, they're a rebellious nation. And you're to preach unto them, and you're to say unto them, he says, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know there hath been a prophet among them. Now God said, Ezekiel, it's not your business to make them listen and hear and to do what you say. That's not your business. Your business is to say, thus saith the Lord. I'm not holding you accountable for results, for nickels and noses, for consequences. I'll take care of that. You just do what I've told you to. I've called you to this. And Paul, the apostle, again, wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. They woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." The gospel preachers have nothing to glory in. I don't have any magic words. I don't deserve accolades for that. Paul says, I have nothing to glory in or glory for. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Which kind of brings me up to my second point. We continue on Number one, because God called us to this. Number two, because we know that since God called us to this ministry, we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Paul says, necessity is laid upon me. We read some passages earlier today from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And he didn't have it easy, folks. The people didn't like what he said. He wasn't like modern-day preachers. Who was it? Oral Roberts, was it? That his show used to always start out, "Something good's gonna happen to you, happen to you." You know what Jeremiah's message was? What God told Jeremiah to say to Israel is, "Something bad's gonna happen to you." People don't like that. You can't build however tall 100-foot Jesus or whatever he built out there at his college. You can't do that by preaching that way. And Jeremiah had it rough. People didn't like him. They said bad things about him. They arrested him. They put him down in a nasty hole. I mean, it just, the powers to be that were against him. Go back and read the book of Jeremiah. He had a rough time. You know, they called him the weeping prophet. And there were times Jeremiah got tired of it. He didn't like it. He said, "I'll quit. I'm just going to quit. This is too much." And Jeremiah 20, verse 9 said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Said, "No, this is too hard." Then Jeremiah says this, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You know, the Lord put that in me, and I couldn't just box it up in there. It had to come out. And so it's not easy. Jeremiah, like I said, they call him the weeping prophet. And then I hear these sermons today. You hear people preach sermons, and I don't know where they come from, because I don't find them in the Bible. But boy, I've heard preachers preach sermons about, you know, God can't use a discouraged man. Well, there was this guy named Jeremiah, you know. God can use all kind of folks, and he'll use them the way he wants to. And so you say, God can't use a discouraged man, and if you're out there kind of discouraged and down, well, that's really helping that person, isn't it? No. See, God can use whoever he decides to, and he can use a discouraged man. And he used Jeremiah. And in the years this church, there's times, you know, we've had, it's not easy times, we've had to discipline church members, because it's necessary to have a disciplined church body. If you don't, you're not a church anymore. It's kind of like countries, you know. If you just have open borders and you just bring in the world, and you're not a country anymore. And if you don't maintain God's standards, and if you're not jealous for the honor of God and the honor of Christ and the honor of his church, it's not easy to do that. And most churches today know nothing of that. And other things, physical things, you know, this little work here. Back in Hurricane Andrew came, we had a little meeting house down there in Homestead. First, we started meeting in my house, then we met in a rented school, then we met in a rented motel, and then I found a little old cracker house down there that had been used as a business down in downtown Homestead, and we decided to buy that. Everybody thought I was crazy, because when I took them out there and I showed it to them, you could walk in and you could look up and you could see the sky. And you could look down and you could see the ground. You know, under the, it was up on pillars like the old cracker houses down there. And I'm not much of a construction guy, but with a little bit of help, basically we restored that place and made it, you know, not fairly nice, livable. Church gave us pews. I rebuilt all those things and whatever. And the Lord decided to take that away one night. And Hurricane Andrew came through. And that little old cracker house that withstood a bunch of other hurricanes wasn't quite up to Andrew. And he took that one away. God and his blessings blew us up here, you know. So there you go. It's like a little bit different way, but some of the folks down there got to call him Hurricane Andrew, St. Andrew. You know why? Because these people that were on the dole, they got thousands of dollars for just being there. I was working at the bank and I was cashing checks for people. Some people who just got off the boat from Haiti and weren't even there when the storm hit, and we were cashing checks for them. Well, we all were. But you see, God works in all those things. And so, if we wanted to quit, God wouldn't let us. You know, there's times you're disappointed. You're disappointed in other folks. You're disappointed in yourself. You know, we've lost folks over the years, hither and yon. It's always painful. But this, too, is the hand of God. Can I explain it all? Not right now. Someday, the Lord will explain it to us all. But sometimes you just want to say, I'm going to quit, like Jeremiah did. Remember, Peter was going to quit. You know, that terrible crucifixion we talked about. And then the Lord, and before that, Peter denies his Lord. After he said, oh, I'll never deny it. Everybody else will deny it, but I won't. And sure enough, Peter said, I don't know who that fella is. And then the glorious resurrection, and the Lord comes back and walks amongst his disciples. But, you know, Peter was pretty down. He was pretty discouraged. He probably thought, well, God can't use a discouraged man. God can't use a man that, you know, that was weak and denied him. And he doubted himself. And he just said, I know what. I used to be a fisherman. I'll just go be a fisherman again. That's what I'll do. John tells us in John 21:3, Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. And they saith unto him, we also go with thee. You know, in spite of it all, Peter was a leader. You know, he said, I'm going to go fishing. The other apostles say, well, we'll just go back to fishing too. We'll go fishing with you. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So they all joined with him. He was going to go back to fishing. And eventually the Lord gives them another great draught of fish like they had had when he initially, you know, called them to follow him. And they brought a fish in and they had going to have a big fish fry. And John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, Peter had kind of failed and thought he couldn't be used and was going to go back to fishing. And the Lord said to him that night, Peter, do you love me more than these? And folks take that variously. Was it more than these? Did he mean, do you love me more than the rest of these apostles, these other folks here? Or do you love me more than these, the fish? You know, your former employment? But the bottom line was, Peter, do you love me more than anything else? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, I've called you to do something, Peter, and you need to do it. You know, do we love him? Then let's do what he told us to do. Feed my sheep, Peter. And he didn't say, entertain the goats. You know, Charles Spurgeon had a great quote about that one time too, that, you know, he, what, 150 years ago or something, Spurgeon talked about the time was going to come, you know, when you're going to have clowns behind the pulpits entertaining goats. Well, by and large, we've come to that day. But the Lord didn't say, entertain the goats. He said, feed my sheep. And we know who the sheep are. The Lord talked about that. Those that were given him in the everlasting covenant. Those that the Holy Spirit draws to him. And so Peter attempted to quit, but the Lord wouldn't let him do it. And then one last example I mentioned last week, kind of as a preview as well, but the Old Testament prophet Jonah, you know. Lord said, Jonah, I want you to go to preach in Nineveh. And Jonah said, those people are nasty. I ain't going to go over there. And he said, Jonah, you go do what I told you to. Jonah said, nope, I'm going to run away. And you know the rest of the story. He gets on a ship and brings a storm upon them all, and people throw him overboard, and Jonah becomes fish food. Because he wouldn't do it. He wasn't doing what the Lord told him to. But Jonah had 3 days to reflect in there. And he got to thinking about it. He said, thought, well, maybe preaching to them folks in Nineveh wouldn't be so bad after all. And that fish threw him up on the beach. The Lord molds and shapes us to do what he's called us to do. And brethren, he'll bring us to do it. I mean, I believe in God's absolute sovereignty. I believe in his absolute predestination of everything. But that still doesn't mean folks want to accuse me. Say, well, God just made you all robots. No. He molds and shapes and brings us to these things. He works through events. He works through experiences. But he will accomplish his will in every detail. And that may be a great mystery, but it'll be done. And if God's called us to do something, we'll do it. You know, you can think all through the scriptures. And Esther comes to mind and others, you know. She was gotten in a bad situation. She thought, well, I'm just going to lay low. You know, and Mordecai told her, you won't be able to lay low, Esther. And even if you did, God raised somebody else up. But God is going to accomplish his will. And so we continue on. We, by the grace of God, we seek to finish well. Because God's called us to this. And because even if we wanted to, we wouldn't be able to quit. And the third thing we'll get into next time, maybe not next week, a lot of times the week after Thanksgiving, I do kind of a Thanksgiving message again, kind of goes along with it, but sometime, maybe we'll get to the third point, which I have an accountability to God for my family and for those that the Lord's brought under my protection. You know, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor to the saints, I have an account for those folks, and so I have to continue on. I mean, what would I do if we close the doors here? Where would I go to church? Where would Diane go to church? Where would Brother Hal go to church? I don't know. There's a lot of things I just couldn't sit through anymore. I know. And I don't know where I could go and not have to sit through them. So, by the grace of God, as long as he's determined to give us breath, we continue on. And we'll pick up there next time. And it is all by the grace of God. No glory to us. No glory to the preacher. All by the grace of God. And all the glory to him. Let's take our hymnals. And we'll stand and sing closing hymn together, number 124, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? 124. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, ready for the soul's bride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? Have we been true to the trust he left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is naught condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those who the Lord finds watching, in his glorious day shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Father, we thank you for this day. for the privilege to gather together as your people. Father, we thank you for your glorious word. Lord, for the work of your Spirit in our lives that drew us to yourself, that revealed Jesus Christ crucified before our eyes for nothing that we did. Thank you, Lord, for the preservation of your word, for inspiring your apostle to write the very words of heaven down, that we might hear from on high, that we might hear the thus saith the Lord that Ezekiel and Jeremiah were called to preach. Father, I pray that you might work in our lives and hearts. That by your grace, and we know it can only be by your grace, that by your grace we might continue on and finish our course. Thank you, Lord, for that love that spanned eternity, that was shed abroad upon your people before they were. Lord, thank you again for each one that's here. Use us this week unto your glory. Be with those that need your healing hand, with those that need your encouragement and strength. Thank you again, Lord, for our Savior, for his all-sufficient and atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.